He calls them eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. There is an instructive humility in this expression. There is an utter absence of that man-exalting tone which has so often crept into the church. Luke gives the apostles no flattering titles. He does not afford the slightest excuse to those who speak of them with idolatrous veneration because of their office and nearness to our Lord. He describes them as eyewitnesses. They told men what they had seen with their own eyes and heard with their own ears. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. He describes them as ministers of the word. They were ministers of the word of the gospel. They were men who counted it their highest privilege to carry about as messengers the tidings of God's love to a sinful world and to tell the story of the cross. Well would it have been for the church and the world if Christian ministers had never laid claim to higher dignity and honor than the apostles claimed for themselves. It is a mournful fact that ordained men have constantly exalted themselves and their office to a most unscriptural position. It is no less mournful fact that people have constantly encouraged this evil by a lazy acceptance of the demands of priestcraft and by contenting themselves with a mere vicarious religion. There have been faults on both sides. Let us remember this and be on our guard. In the third place, Luke describes his own qualifications for the work of writing a gospel. He says that he had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. It would be a mere waste of time to inquire from what source Luke obtained the information which he has given us in his gospel. We have no good reason for supposing that he saw our Lord work miracles or heard him teach. To say that he obtained his information from Mary or any of the apostles is mere conjecture and speculation. It is enough for us to know that Luke wrote by the inspiration of God. Unquestionably, he did not neglect the ordinary means of getting knowledge, but the Holy Spirit guided him no less than all other writers of the Bible in his choice of matter. The Holy Spirit supplied him with the thoughts, arrangement, sentences, and even words. And the result is that what Luke wrote is not to be read as the word of man, but the word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Let us carefully hold fast the great doctrine of the plenary inspiration of every word of the Bible. Let us never allow that any writer of the Old or New Testament could make even the slightest verbal mistake or error when writing as he was moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Let it be a settled principle with us in reading the Bible that when we cannot understand a passage or reconcile it with some other passage, the fault is not in the book, but in ourselves. The adoption of this principle will place our feet upon a rock. To give it up is to stand upon a quicksand and to fill our minds with endless uncertainties and doubts. Finally, Luke informs us of one main object he had in view in writing his gospel. It was that Theophilus might know the certainty of those things wherein he had been instructed. There's no encouragement here for those who place confidence in unwritten traditions and the voice of the church. Luke well knew the weakness of man's memory and the readiness with which a history alters its shape, both by additions and alterations, when it depends only on word of mouth and report. What therefore does he do? He takes care to write. There's no encouragement here for those who are opposed to the spread of religious knowledge and talk of ignorance as the mother of devotion. Luke does not wish his friend to remain in doubt on any matter of his faith. He tells him that he wants him to know